As we start off this morning, I want to reference a couple verses in just a moment. And, you know, we just been working with endurance on the Constitution. I came and it would have been August of 2016 when I was installed as the pastor. And then I believe it was 2018 that November, December, that we met and had our first meeting of 2018. And just chipping away at it, working at it with the finance committee there, Brother Mark and Brother Danny at a time. And then we had Brother Dan Bachman, Mark Reynolds, and Mike Jemanski just spent countless hours working through each line and seeking to go off a base that is given. Get my mic turned over here. We worked off a model or a base that the Christian Law Association gives for local churches just like ours. And we don't use everything verbatim that they suggest, and that's not what they expect, but it's something, a framework to have when you're working through a document such as this nature. And so we are thankful to be toward the end. And you work towards these things and you learn a lot, and it's a blessing just to see, okay, how is this going to be best for Crooked Creek Baptist Church and all of those things you consider. And so thank you for being patient. Thank you for praying. Thank you for all those that took a look at the document. And we had, I believe, close to a dozen in the church just to review it. And we are going to, of course, give everyone that opportunity. We want you to see it and be encouraged by it, because I do believe it is a good document. I believe it's going to be very helpful to our church. I believe the Lord will bless it. But tonight, I just want to start off by talking about the importance of unity. And if you found your place there in the book of Philippians, notice with me, we're studying this in Sunday school, and so you'll hear some of these things again as we work through the book. But Paul encouraged this church a lot about the importance of being in one accord. And we notice there, if you work your way towards the end of chapter 1, he speaks often of his suffering for Christ, being in jail, even to the point of wanting to go to heaven, but understanding it was better for him to stay. But in verse 27, he gives a very strong statement to this church, and he says, only let your conversation — that word conversation is the word mean basically your conduct, but even deeper than that, it talks about, the word is used in that Greek culture, it was used on living like a citizen. And what Paul is saying here, I'm exhorting you to live like a citizen of heaven. That's where you should be known by. And therefore he went on to say, let your conversation, your behavior as a citizen of heaven, if I can take the liberty to just put that in different terms, he says, as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Our lives should represent the gospel. And it says that whether I come and see you or else be absent — again, whether he was there or not — I may hear of your affairs, your activity, your life. He says that ye stand fast in what, church? One spirit. Then he says, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now notice what he does say in verse 28, in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. He goes on to say that, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. So he's going to also hit it immediately in chapter 2. He says in verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded." Here's the unity aspect again. Like-mindedness. Also notice having the what? The same love. That's unity. And being of one accord, of one mind. And he says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so, as we understand the spirit of Paul here, he's basically exhorting them about intensifying their unity. And so anything that we can do as a church to promote unity, we want to do it. Amen? That's just a goal, always, of the local church, of the body. We want to be, we always want to be in the same oneness of spirit and like-mindedness in our goals in serving Jesus. And so we do take those measures. We have through the years. And so upon that, I just want to bring out some truths tonight on why a church constitution. Why a church constitution? Now, I like how one writer stated it. He said, ultimately, a constitution presents a congregation's way of looking at the Bible's commands about how the church should be structured and organized, and then working, here's our words of unity, and then working together to figure out the best and wisest ways to obey those commands. That sums it up. We're working together. And so as a church, we take, of course, what the church has traditionally practiced, not just because of tradition, but based on the Word of God. We take that as a part of our structuring this document. But what we base the document off entirely is this precious holy book, the Word of God. And we trust that you will find that to be true as you read through it. So, all right, in short, let me just mention some practical reasons, and I believe biblical reasons, why we have a church constitution. And most likely, I'm telling you things that you already know and I believe agree with, just knowing you as members of Crooked Creek Baptist. Number one, if you're taking notes, note that the first reason is to promote efficiency. To promote efficiency. What do I mean by that? Organization. Any institute is going to promote organization. But especially God's people, because Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where he tells us that we ought to do all things decently and what? In order. You know, Paul tells Titus, did he not, when they were forming the church and he was encouraging this young preacher how to do things? He said, look, put in order. Place in order the needs of the local church, these things that need to be established, because it's important that people know the roles of the pastor and future deacons and also of teachers and members. Talk about procedures, how we vote. What are the percentage of votes? Those things matter, and to be understanding. And so again, it is simply, to promote efficiency. But number two, it's to encourage unity. Like we just stated here, you know, we want unity. We want, oneness. And, you know, here's, just because someone is together does not always mean there's unity. All right? You can hang two cats with their tails tied together over a line, and you have togetherness, but you do not have unity. Okay? There's going to be a lot of fighting going on. Well, listen, that's a silly illustration, but what we look for in the church is not just to be together physically, but to be together spiritually. We are family. We're a body. And we're the body of Christ, and He is our head, And we certainly are members joined one to another. And so encourage this unity of one accord, one mind in faith and practice. And what a document as of what we're going to have as a church. It helps with that. We'll be able to see things that we already know and believe, but it's stated, and it's encouraging to help again promote oneness. But number three, to demonstrate transparency and consistency. That is so important. And sometimes, really, honestly, that's not easy, you know, to be transparent and to be consistent. But what a constitution and covenant and bylaws allows the church to do is to be just open. This is how we handle our church. We do it according to the Word of God, based upon Jesus' commands and guidance. These are the things that we have implemented for the sake of transparency, for people to know that we have nothing to hide. The church is not a private club, if you will. The church has no secrets, and things that are public are public. Now, we each have our private, individual, private lives, and something that has not been made public, of course. We understand that it's not about revealing someone's privacy unless it is public. And we have ways that we deal with that in the Constitution when these things are found out or revealed. How do we respond as a church? Well, it states that. And we want consistency. We don't want to hold a standard for here or for there and are different. We seek to for it to be a document that keeps the church consistent. Number four, not only to promote efficiency and encourage unity and demonstrate transparency and consistency, but number four, it is to articulate direction. That's important. Where are we going? What is our mission as a church? And putting that in a form that, hey, anywhere you go, I mean, I was up at St. Mary's the other day and just walking in, and that's one of the first things you see there is they state their core values, and then they also state their mission, their purpose, and their vision. And you see immediately, hey, this church, this hospital is, has some values and some virtues, core values that is going to govern them, help them to stay with their mission and purpose of seeing people healed and helped and in that way, ministered to in a health context. But nevertheless, a constitution certainly does show forth that in our purpose. And then number five, which probably is in our recent days, is more of a reason now, especially in our day and age, what we're living. But that is to protect itself from liability. The church has to protect itself. You know the things we're facing in our culture. Nothing is surprising me anymore. The things I'm witnessing and you're witnessing just appalling, okay? And we understand that what society and culture is saying, okay, the Bible is saying it's not okay. And we have to take a position there. Someone wrote here, and they said this, 50 years ago, few people, especially churchgoers, would have dreamed of suing the church. However, the legal climate today has changed dramatically, and lawsuits against churches are increasingly common. So the church needs a document that states why we believe what we believe. And of course, our number one reason is we believe the Bible. Okay? But people are twisting scripture left and right to say what they want it to say. And then we can have a document that states, okay, this is our interpretation of what the Bible is stating and its standard, and putting that clearly. It helps protect us if there's ever a situation where there has to be church discipline. And that is, of course, spelled out in the Constitution. And when there is
a sin that is not being repented of, that is ongoing after a brother goes on just one-on-one, and then just two-on-one, and then there's all these steps that are taken that Scripture gives us until that point where there is just none and there's causing division, then the church has to take measures that the Bible gives us. And stating that protects us from somebody necessarily suing the church. Guidelines for hiring staff members. You know, you may have a homosexual that comes on this campus and says, hey, I want to be a member of this church. Or I want to be on staff. And if you don't hire me because I'm a homosexual, then I'm going to sue you. Well, the church needs to have a constitution in place that states our position there based upon the Word of God as a way, again, of protection. And also requirements for membership. As I mentioned, someone may say, look, you know, for instance, it may be somebody that's cohabitating, all right, and says, look, I still want to join your church and we're not getting married and we're going to do it this way. And we say, no, that you can't be a member if you're in that position. And that would protect us because that's stated in our position on the family, on the home. You see, it's just it's one of those things. And so that is the main reasons. But I will say this about the Constitution here. Let me be clear on this. This is not a perfect document. You know why? Anybody want to tell me why? Why is this not a perfect document? It's not inspired. And what? Who said that? Written by men. All right. So it's not infallible. It's not inerrant. Okay. I'm sure that you might be able to find something. We may not be on absolute correct on everything. But what we have done, with the best of our knowledge and being led by the Holy Spirit, Spirit-filled men and the leaders of the church have come together and have worked hard, prayed hard, and written it out as closely as we can. And so we understand, and that's why, you know, we also, like you would understand with any constitution, even in government, there's amendments being made, Brother Clyde being here tonight, you understand. And we give, space for that, of course, there's a section called for amendments, the procedure for that. And so we put those sort of things forward. But hey, but with that being said, this is perfect. And this is our sole authority for faith and practice. This is to help the church, as I just mentioned, to promote unity, to promote efficiency, to help us, to protect us against from liability, and to just articulate our position and direction. For when someone does come to our church, we can welcome them gladly and say, ma'am, sir, we're so glad you're here. Perhaps I've heard a testimony and they're considering membership. And we get to hand them this, our document, and say, you know, you're required to read through this and, of course, agree to it if you feel like God is leading you to this church. And so, again, that helps people up front know where we are. And I do believe that is a help. And we have nothing to hide. There's nothing there to hide. There's just transparency, and we want to be consistent. Let me just mention a few things here. Again, we're going to make these available at the end of the service. We'll put them in the foyer, and just want to encourage you to take one per family. I think we'll have plenty tonight. I think we made 50 copies tonight. But these are for your personal use to read through. And again, I don't expect there to be any problems or any issues. We've gone through this so many times and had it proofed. I had Christian Law Association look at it and give me their feedback. And so we have really taken a lot of measures. But it always helps for the body to see it. And so as you read through it, if something does come up, I want you to feel at total liberty to reach out to me and to express any comments or questions. I won't look at that as an insult. I won't look at that as an offense. Absolutely not. I hope you know me better than that. I hope you know that we want this to be right, and we want this to be an encouragement. And now some of these things that you'll find in here, especially certain of these legal terms, most of that is toward the end. And I'll mention that here in just a minute. But there are 16 articles, sections in our Constitution. It's 28 pages. So, you know, it's about 14 pages here, front and back. And the first and probably largest section of it is our statement of faith. But it starts off with Article 1 is our name, Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And then Article 2 is our purpose. And then Article 3 is our statement of faith. And again, we give, go down the list, and we pretty much adopted our statement of faith that we've had since 1977, and then we just added to it and modified several things in a couple sections just to make it more concise and even clarify in other areas. So we expanded it and modified certain sections, but you'll see there, those are based on doctrine and our stand on the Word of God concerning doctrine. Then there's the church covenant. Now, the church covenant is just a brief statement of paragraph of basically that deals with us as a church being unified and our desire to honor the Lord and to honor each other and to walk with Him. Seeking to live a holy life that is above reproach. And so we'll read that, and we'll read that together, of course, and to look at the details. But then you have in Article 5, Section 5 is membership, such as reception of new members. How does that work? Duties of members or privileges of membership. And then, of course, what I mentioned earlier, that there are certain sections that I'm going to teach in the Constitution that we have not currently stated a clear position on, such as deacons. I want to teach on the qualifications of deacons, the installation of deacons, and then also that whole process. But as I mentioned earlier, the discipline of a member, or how members leave and that sort of thing. That's membership. And then you have officers. Now, officers, there are two main offices of a church. You have the pastor and deacon. And that is stated in here, their terms of office, election of officers, how we are to select deacons. Also, pastoral oversight of officers and staff. Then we have a church clerk and church treasurer. That is fulfilled by deacons who are in office. And also assistant or associate pastors, and duty of church officers and appointees. So that section would cover that. Then we have meetings in Article 8, how we conduct our meetings here with services. Just, they're real brief paragraphs. And then missionary support, you know, how we handle missions. And that's just a short section. And then Article 9, you'll notice, is the Ministry of Education. That is in place for the possibility of a future Christian school. And so that is something that I found to be normal in most church constitutions. It's in place if the Lord were to lead us in that direction. Then you have, of course, Article 10 would be the ordination. How are we ordained men for the ministry, their qualifications, the procedure, that sort of thing. And then one section here, indemnification is a legal term on basically members being protected and the church being protected against lawsuits. And it basically just walks through that, how that is. For instance, let's say you're ministering, you're basically on a missions trip, or you're doing something on behalf of the church. Maybe you're out visiting someone, you're giving someone the gospel, and they say, hey, you can't tell me that I'm not going to heaven. You can't tell me whatever this. I'm going to sue you. Well, that's just a little bit of a ridiculous example. But if somebody tries to sue you when you're doing the church's work according to the church's guidelines, okay, you would be protected in this. And but then it protects the church that if it's just you doing your own thing, and even though you're a member of this church, but if you're out doing your own thing and something happens and there's a lawsuit against you, then the church is protected from having to provide any funds on that. And so it's just a legal term, indemnification. It's in all church constitutions, and so you'll notice that. And then we have Article 12. Which is based on committees, how we have, you know, standing committees and special committees that we would have. That's just two small sections. And then designated contributions would be section 13, basically how that works, short section. And then another legal term here, dealing with the legal section, that's binding arbitration, okay? That, again, deals with if there are two members in this local church that have a dispute, and how the church is guided in Scripture and instructed in Scripture how to handle disputes within the local church between believers to keep them from suing each other. Okay? And so that is stated in there how that works. And you'll read through that. And the dissolution, and then also the amendments that would be the last two articles of the Constitution. So again, that is where we are as far as the document goes. And what we'll do as of right now, the plan is to you have a copy, and then for us 3 weeks from now to be able to vote the document in. And so I just think that will be a big step in the direction of our church, to be a help to us and an encouragement. But any basic questions? I'm not getting into the Constitution tonight, but is there anything on the surface or anything like that concerning 3 weeks to look at it? How to contact us, any questions about that? Okay? All right. Well, again, we'll, at the end of the service, we'll make those available, and I trust that you'll be able to take one and read through that. Trust that it'll be a help to you. And thank you for listening, and I hope that these things will take to heart and understand the importance of it. All right, and I will say this in closing: it is a living in the sense it's not something that this is always going to be the exact same as far as some of the procedures. The next generation or something may say, "Well, hey, we want to approach that a little differently in how the procedures of installing deacons or whatever." Those things can be amended, but this is where we're at right now. Based on what we have, and amendments have to have a certain amount of vote and a certain amount of people here. So again, those things are stated, and we let the Lord lead us in that. Well, amen. Well, at this time, I'd like Brother Arthur to get ready to come up and give us a report on the VBS. And I want to just give a recap and just encourage your hearts tonight in the fact of how God moved and how He helped us. And so why don't you stand up with me for a minute, stretch your knees out. I know it's just been so entertaining listening to about a constitution. Everybody's wide awake, not bored or sleepy. But yeah, stretch out. There you go, Ben. I like that. Stretch it out and move those knees. Okay, you may be seated. All right, come on, Brother Arthur.
I thought Pastor was about to have y'all do the booster cheer.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Stand attention. No, just kidding.
Well, we had a wonderful week this last week. I just want to start off by saying thank you so much to all of you that had a part in it. You know, I know that there was many of you that were here this last week on campus during VBS, whether you were teaching. I don't know what Timothy, I can't read that sign that he just held up.
Oh. Is the lapel, is the pulpit?
We'll have to use the pulpit mic
there. Yeah.
Sorry, I can't read that far.
And he had it upside down, so that wasn't fair.
Well, I just want to say thank you again to those of you that were here this last week. I know we had a lot of teachers, those that were helping with snacks, different of you that helped with registration. Of course, you know, had Brother Greg and Brother Jake and driving the buses, Miss Becky and Brother Christian picking up on the van. That was always a huge blessing as well. We had a whole lot of volunteers in total. I want to say that we had probably between 45 and 50 people that were here at the church throughout the week helping throughout Vacation Bible School. And what a blessing that was. And that's not counting those of you that cooked meals for the evangelists, those of you that brought something to the church for them or brought snacks and supplies. So thank you all so much for just your involvement this last week. We truly could not have done that without you. And so just a few things about the week. First of all, we started off Saturday with our work day and our orientation meeting. Had a wonderful attendance to that in just a great way as we got the evangelists in here, got to meet them and prepare for Sunday. And then we kicked it off Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We started off our first rally. I believe that first night we started off with around, I want to say about 80 or 90 boosters of the kids, you know, from pre-K all the way up through sixth grade, about 30 teenagers or so, a great start. And then throughout the week, we had about 191 kids and teenagers enrolled, which was a high from the past few years at least, that were here at some point throughout the week.
Amen.
And then a high day of 148 kids and teenagers in attendance on Tuesday night. So what a huge blessing.
Amen.
Just to be able to really minister to around 200 kids and teenagers throughout the week to give them the gospel, to teach them God's word. And that was just a wonderful opportunity that we had. And so really looking at Tuesday night, that high night of 148, we had about 210 people here on the church campus between the kids, the teenagers, all of us adults that were working. So what a blessing just to be able to gather together for really the sake of the gospel was the point all throughout that week. And so that was a blessing. And then, of course, we had the four evangelists that Pastor mentioned. We had Brad Hoffmeister and Brian Graff really ministering to our kids through the pre-K class, our primaries, our juniors. They ran the rallies in here. And then all of our teachers ministering to those kids as well. And then we had Mr. Tony Montano and Micah Phillips ministering to the teenagers out in the fellowship hall. They were a huge blessing. You know, they taught, they preached the gospel. Like Pastor said, they were very teachable to a lot of the tips that we gave him. We spent time praying throughout the day. They went out and they did some more canvassing. They were a huge, huge help as well, not just in their teaching, but also just in their investment with the kids and teenagers, spending time getting to know them, talking to them, the relationships that they built, not just with the kids and teenagers, but with a lot of you as well. They were a huge blessing. I hope that you'll maybe get their names, write their names down, pray for them throughout the summer as they're already getting started tonight at another church. So I lift them up in prayer. And then as well, if you feel led to give to them, you can designate that on an offering envelope and put that in the offering just to go towards their Bible college. You know, as we have those kids and teenagers here, we also were blessed to see around 20 decisions made throughout the week, with five or six of those being some solid salvation decisions.
Amen.
Trusting Christ as their Savior, and then a few more about just the assurance of salvation. I know the first night we were able to take a couple of teenagers out, and they said, I'm not really sure if I'm on my way to heaven or not. And after talking to them for a few minutes, they say, no, I made that decision to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I just wasn't sure. And so we had a number of those opportunities to deal with assurance of salvation. And then a few more decisions were made just about kids dedicating their life to the Lord. Some of them saying, no, I've been really struggling with sin. I want to get this out of my life and take some steps in following after God. And I know some decisions were also made just about witnessing, about giving the gospel to friends and to family. A lot of great decisions made where those 20 were those that came forward in an invitation or went to the back of the auditorium and talked to adults, and we had their decision cards. And normally a few decision cards get missed, so probably was a few more. And that's not counting the kids that listened, that paid attention, that made a decision in their heart, but maybe didn't go forward in the invitation. So we just had a really fruitful week of kids making decisions, being saved, of following after the Lord, and we praise the Lord for that. That's really what it is all about. I know somebody told me either today or yesterday, you know, if we just had one person get saved, all of that work was worth it. And that really is the truth. And so to have five or six make that decision and many more spiritual decisions makes such a long week worth it. So praise the Lord and thank you just for your effort. You know, I mean that that when I say that you have spiritual fruit in heaven, spiritual rewards in heaven.
Amen, brother.
Because of the work that you did. Paul mentions that often in the New Testament, that your prayers, that your support, and that your co-laboring, it really does make a difference. It really does reap spiritual, eternal reward. So thank you so much for that. And then also, that was mentioned this morning, we raised, you know, just short of $1,500 for missions going to the Moras in the Dominican Republic. And that was great. And we have the big offering competition in here. I thank Brother Dan for making that scale for the kids to hold all of those bricks. I mean, I think that was about 40 bricks or so, not counting the penny rolls that they got on top of that. And then the teenagers giving the offering in the fellowship hall, they were excited. They were excited not just about, the competition, but they were also just excited to give to missions. I know the last night with the teenagers, we have a night where there's no competition. They don't get any points. They don't get any rewards. It's really just to give to missions. And I believe about $80, $90 came in even just in that offering. So they do care about giving to missions.
Amen.
And what a blessing that was as well. Also, our kids memorized hundreds of verses. I couldn't find the number because it's on all of those hundreds of registration cards. But they memorized hundreds of verses. I believe we had a couple hundred memorized with the teenagers. I'm sure we had hundreds memorized with the kids. And that was just another blessing, is that these kids were poured into not just by the influence of the adults that were here and the evangelists, but of God's word being just implanted in their minds and their hearts. What a blessing that was as well. You know, we had a lot of fun throughout the week. Daily crafts, songs, prizes. Of course, Water Night was a big hit. As always, all the kids out on the tarp. I think it still smells like baby shampoo back there. But what a great week. We had a blast. Another one that was a huge blessing was the teenagers got to have their Destination Unknown activity on Thursday night, where they came to the church. We didn't tell them where we were going, but about 25 minutes into it, we loaded up the bus. And this year, we took them to the White Dog Farm just a few minutes away. Mm-hmm. We thank so much John and Beth Keeble for allowing us to be there and just opening up really their property for us to have a bonfire, have a cookout, to let the kids play a bunch of games. It was really a wonderful evening as well, and some decisions were made that night. And then our kids and teenagers did a great job at inviting friends. I know I saw kids and teenagers taking flyers, bringing their visitors, and some of them just had a heart for their kids, their friends, to come and be a part of Bible time, have a fun week. But some of them also had a heart for their friends to come and hear the gospel. And what a blessing that was as well. And I think even this morning I saw a few visitors from Vacation Bible School. So what a blessing that was. And then on Friday night, I know many of you prayed for our closing program. This auditorium was full, not just of kids and teenagers, but full of a lot of parents that wanted to see their
Amen.
Kids. Sing a song that they learned from this week, get their awards, but also they had the opportunity to hear the gospel that night. And I know at the end of it, we had bounce houses and ice cream for the kids. I believe we were able to give about 25 bags of our church information with a coffee cup and some candy to different families. And so what an awesome opportunity just to connect with some people from our community, many of them which had not been here before. I know talking to some kids and teenagers, even some adults, they said, I've never been to Crooked Creek Baptist Church before. I haven't been here. And so what an opportunity just to make some of those connections. And we praise the Lord really just for a wonderful, wonderful week with the decisions that were made, really just the unity that our church displayed in coming together to work hard. I know it was a hard week for a lot of you coming home from work and then coming right to Vacation Bible School.
Yes.
Some of you skipping dinner and just getting here to really pour into these kids and teenagers. So I thank you so, so much just for all of your labor, all of your prayers, even just your willingness to give in many ways throughout the week. God is going to take that and bless that. And we praise the Lord for, in our eyes, a successful week. But we know also in the Lord's eyes, a successful week, because we saw God glorified and we saw some great spiritual decisions. So thank you so much. And as we move forward, one of the things that we can do is just be a part of follow-up. We have probably at least a good 100 names or so that we can go visit and talk to these kids, their teenagers, the parents, just about church, about the Lord. And so if you'd like to be involved with that, I encourage you to join one of our grow teams. You could talk to me or Brother Mark Reynolds. You could talk to Brother Dan Bachman, Brother Christian Heist, Brother Billy Bobel. They all lead one of the teams that go out just once a week throughout the month. And they go out for about an hour on Saturday, 10 o'clock, and they go and just share the gospel. They have different outreach. They'll also be doing some follow-up over the next month or so, going to visit these kids that have come. And I encourage you, if you want to get involved in that, talk with one of them, talk with myself. But we're going to go try and reach out to them, reach out to the parents, share the gospel with them, invite them to church. church and just see how God can continue to bless, not just through last week, but really in the weeks to come.
Yes.
So thank you for your hard work this week. And we praise the Lord for what He did.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Arthur. Appreciate your work and leading that. And Noel did a lot of preparation work, and Carrie Stringer. They were all working together. And then we had a lot more just come in and help with decor and different things and getting lessons squared away and all the way down just the crafts and clean up afterwards. It was just, there was so much involvement. And thank many of you came out Friday night for the program too, and that was encouraging. I saw a lot of you talking with guests that came during that time, and how grateful we are. We give God the glory, and we felt like we planted seeds, and we felt like we watered, and we believe just God's going to give increase. And so we just commit it to Him. But we continue this summer. We don't stop there. Hopefully we'll be able to do some follow-up in the coming weeks and some encouragement, as Brother Arthur said. Well, amen. Well, I think what we'll do is maybe we'll have a closing song, and maybe we could do our theme song this year. Is that ready to go? Maybe we could get that ready in the back. But praise God, I appreciate you being faithful tonight. I think we'll do it this way. There is a order of business that we need to take care of as a church, and it's just that be at the end of the service. And so what I would like to do, I think Brother Arthur is going to take the young people to the fellowship hall just for a little activity and hang out a little bit if y'all want to go outside or something like that. And then we would just, let's just say 16 and older, we'll just stay in here. The rest can go with Brother Arthur and Lauren, and we'll have just a bit of business to take care of here in the church. But why don't we first of all come and sing our theme song, and then I'll close in prayer.
Let's stand. Stretch your legs here for just a moment.